Welcome again to our studies on the character, the abilities, and the productivity of the kings of Judah. These kings reigned after King David. They reigned until the Babylonian dispersion, which came in about 530 BC. And it was very interesting that these kings of Judah, who come from the Davidic line, had quite different characters. Some were evil, some were wicked, some were so-so, and some were good. And we're going to have a look at one of the good kings, Hezekiah, in this session. Now, Hezekiah was the son of Ahaz. And Ahaz was not a good king. He was a very wicked one. But somehow this gives encouragement, I believe, to many. You know, you might have a genealogy. Or you might have a father who was a drunkard, a father perhaps who did not walk with God, a father who was not upright. And you say, well, what can I do? Am I going to be like my father? No, you know, the prophet Ezekiel tells us that, you know, if a son considers the ways of his father and determines not to walk therein, then he will be accepted by God, you know, if he walks uprightly. And it is possible to receive grace from God irrespective of your genealogy. And this is exactly what we have here in this session. We have a remarkable king, Hezekiah, who came from a very wicked, if I could say this, father. Now then, Hezekiah came to the throne when he was about 25 years of age. And he determined to walk with God. You see, that is the key. One's determination. Which way am I going to walk? On the narrow way that leads to eternity, or the broad path that so many take that leads to eternal destruction? Well, Ahaz, his father, had walked on that broad path. He had walked in the ways of the ungodly, and his end was deplorable. But Hezekiah made the commitment, if I could say this, to walk in the ways of God. And so he came to the throne at the age of 25, and after 2 years on the throne, he gave a commandment that they were going to celebrate the Passover. Now, this is the first of the Jewish feasts, and it signifies for us, living in our days, salvation. And so his purpose was that Judah would recommit to the Lord as a nation, and they would walk in the ways of God, and they would indeed apprehend the truths of salvation. And before I go on, I have to explain this in our terms, in the dispensation in which we are living. You see, Hezekiah made the decision to walk in the ways of the saved. And I want to ask you this: are you walking in the ways of the saved? What does that mean? Well, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish. What does he mean by should not perish? Well, you see, there are two places that one goes to after death. One is heaven, if one has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and are walking in the light and are walking in the pathways of righteousness. Well, their eternity is in the blessedness of heaven above. But this sort of perish means to enter hell. Now, what is hell? Well, hell is a place of torment. The Lord Jesus Christ described it as fire, brimstone, utter darkness, a place of wailing, a place of suffering, a place of torment. He He speaks of a rich man being consumed by fire in hell. And you see, unless we have taken the steps of King Hezekiah and apprehended the ways of God and determined to be one of the saved, to give one's life unto the Lord Jesus Christ, well, one will end up in hell. And what is hell? Well, it's a place of torment, a place of darkness, a place of sadness, sorrow. But it is a holding place. It is a holding place until the great white throne of judgment. And that great white throne of judgment will take place after the Lord's millennial reign upon earth, the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon earth. And then all the books will be opened. What do I mean by all the books will be opened? Well, each one of us has a book, you see. And in that book is inscribed everything we've done in life. And, you know, all our sins, all our shortcomings, as well as the good things. But the thing is this, that if we have not accepted Christ as our Savior, there is no hope in our book. And everyone is judged according to one's book. And then hell, which is a holding place, is a place of torment, then opens up itself. And all its inhabitants go into the lake of fire forever, forever, and forever. And oh, the torment of the lake of fire. Well, Hezekiah made a determination that he was going to lay hold of God's so great salvation. And so he gave an ordinance as king that everybody who was so disposed was to celebrate that feast of Passover. Everybody was to recommit to the Lord. Everybody was to accept God's so great salvation. And there was a time of great rejoicing, great rejoicing. And the whole nation of Judah rejoiced greatly in the Lord. And so you get a leader who has made that, shall I say, commitment, and the result is others follow. And you, as a father of the household, have you made that commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if you have, you know, it has an impact upon your wife, upon your children, and upon your friends. You know, no one liveth to himself, no one dieth to himself. That's what the Word of God tells us. And we have an impact upon others. And so Hezekiah had a tremendous impact upon the nation. He was king. He said, look, he said, I am going to commit my life and the life of the nation to the ways of salvation. We're going to walk with the Lord. And the whole nation followed him. And not only the whole nation, but tribes from Israel in the north, they came down. They celebrated that feast. They committed their lives and their hearts to the Lord. Well, that was the beginning of the reign of Hezekiah. And we're told that Hezekiah was renowned for his goodness. You see, it's not only sufficient to, shall I say, commit your life to the Lord, but there are fruits that follow. And one of the exhortations in the New Testament is that we do good, especially to those of the household of God. Because after all, you know, we're going to live together in heaven for millions of years, for eternity. And, you know, we shall remember the life that we have lived here on earth. And when we meet someone from our church or someone whom we have been associated in business, and they too have received Christ as their Savior, we shall remember the good things that they did to us, and they will remember the good things that we did to them. And so let us be rich in good works. And that was one of the characteristics of Hezekiah. He was a good man, and he was full of good works. He followed the Lord, and his life was a life of goodness. Well now, he had extraordinary experiences. And one of these experiences was in his physical body. And I'm going through that now, actually. You know, having an experience in my physical body where I need really a touch from God, and God is doing wonders in my body too. But for King Hezekiah, he was sick. And the prophet Isaiah, who lived at the same time as King Hezekiah, was told by God to come and visit the king and tell him to put his house in order, because God was going to take him. That was the end of his life. Well, Hezekiah, you know, did not want to die. I mean, he wanted to live a full life. And he was only about 39 years of age. And when Isaiah told him this, you know, the king was in his sick bed, and he rolled over on his side, faced the wall, and started to pray to God, and cried unto God that his life had been so short. I mean, it was the 14th year of his reign, 39 years of age, that's quite young, and there it was. Well, God heard his cry, and before Isaiah had left the royal palace, he was told to go back and tell Hezekiah that he would have 15 years more, meaning he would bring up his age to 54 before he died. Still young for our days. But anyway, so there it was. And Hezekiah said, well, what sign will I have? And, you know, Isaiah said, well, do you want the sun to go forward 15 degrees, or do you want it to go back 15 degrees? And here are these two godly men, and they have an extraordinary conversation. And they're saying one to another, well, Hezekiah says to Isaiah, well, you know, to go forward 15 degrees is easy. Let the sun go back 15 degrees. And they're talking about the sun, well, there's millions of miles away, being controlled by the hand of God to give a sign to this godly king. And when Isaiah said, fine, the sun will go back 15 degrees. And he prayed, and God, you know, who controls all things, omnipotent, you know, all powerful, he caused the sun to go back 15 degrees. So Hezekiah had a remarkable healing. And then Isaiah said, well, look, put a, you know, some figs on your sore and you'll be completely healed. It's extraordinary that they're talking about the sun going back, and yet to complete the healing they have a bag of figs. But anyway, that's what it was, a poultice of figs. Anyway, so Hezekiah was healed. Now then, there was a reason for this extraordinary miracle. Because God wanted to show Hezekiah how great he was. Because now there is a test coming up. And what is this test? Well, you see, the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel had not been walking with God. And God wanted to purge them with the rod of his anger. And he was using the king of Assyria. This king happened to be Sennacherib at that time. And he had brought Sennacherib through Israel, and Israel had been reduced to nothing, had become, if I could say, a colony of the Assyrian Empire. And now God was bringing the king of Assyria, the rod of his anger, into Judah. But he gave a promise to Hezekiah through Isaiah that, you know, Assyria would not overrun Jerusalem, but God would protect Jerusalem. Well, the Assyrian army came through Judah. They came through Judah. They took city after city. And you know, those cities in those days were walled. And how did they take the walled cities? Well, they built up ramparts. You see, earthen ramparts. And then, after they built it up to the wall, then they would run over that, run over the wall, and capture the city. Now then, here Sennacherib is at another city called Lachish, and Lachish is about to fall. And the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, sends his general, Rabashak, to Jerusalem and said, look, I've taken every city. No city has been able to stand against me. He said, look at all those great cities in the north. Look at Israel. Look at the cities I'm taking in Judah. No one is able to stand against me. He said, there is no need for me to fight against you. Why don't you just come out of your city, surrender to me? I will take you and put you into another country similar to your own, and I will spare you the loss of all these men that would happen if I come against your city. Well, Isaiah had spoken the word to Hezekiah and said, don't budge. God is going to defend this city. And so as king, Hezekiah had experienced this glorious healing, and he had seen the power of God, you know, to move that sun. And so Hezekiah was strong in the Lord. And so he said to Rabashak, he said, he sent his emissaries there. He said, we will trust in the Lord. And Rabashak said, look, no one, there's been no God that could defend their city against my Lord, the king of Assyria. But Hezekiah said, no, we will trust in the Lord. And so Rabashak, gave this letter from Sennacherib, you know, to these emissaries, and they gave it to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah laid out this letter before the Lord, and he said, look what the king of Assyria says. No God has been able to stand against him. And in other words, he's saying to you, the God of Israel, the God of the whole earth, that you are not able to defend this city against the king of Assyria. And then God spoke to Isaiah the prophet. He said, don't worry. I'm going to defend it, and that Sennacherib is going to go back in disgrace to his own city of Nineveh, and there he will die. Well, there we have it. The situation is very clear. There's 185,000 men surrounding this city of Jerusalem, and one of the things that the general of the Assyrian army said, look, I'll give you 2,000 horsemen if you've got enough men to put on them. He said, you can come riding out and we'll take you captive. He said, if you've got 2,000. So obviously Hezekiah was greatly reduced, and here was 185,000. But Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. And you know, one night when the Assyrian army and their tents were indeed surrounding Jerusalem, the angel of the Lord was sent by God, and he slew 185,000. And when these people woke up, they realized they were dead. Well, Sennacherib, of course, having lost 185,000, you know, is in mourning. He realizes he's been defeated by the God of Israel, and he returns to his own city. In 2 years, he was assassinated by two of his sons. Well, now then, what is the situation with Hezekiah? Well, people from far and wide. You know, the kings have heard about the glorious healing of Hezekiah. And here was the slaying of the Assyrian army, and all the treasures that they brought with them were now, you know, belonging to Hezekiah. And so Hezekiah's heart, unfortunately, was lifted up in pride. And so when the king of Babylon's princes came, you know, to congratulate him on his healing and to congratulate him on his great victory against the Assyrians, because the Babylonians had been the servants of the Assyrians and, of course, hated them. And so they were very, very happy with this victory that God had given to Hezekiah. They came, you see. Now, unfortunately, Hezekiah's heart was lifted up in pride, and he did not render unto God for all the goodness that God had shown him. And he showed all his treasures to the king of Babylon, and there's not one thing he didn't show. In other words, it was an attitude of pride. Look at all these treasures that I have acquired, you see. And Jerusalem was just filled with pride. And it's a very sad thing. You know, so often God can keep us in times of trial. But then when victory comes, and if I could say this, the pressure is removed, then somehow the human heart, you know, attributes all this to their own strength, their own wisdom. And whilst they've cried unto God in times of distress, yet when the victory has come, they somehow attribute it to themselves and not to God. Unfortunately, this was the case with Hezekiah. And therefore, the prophet came to Hezekiah and said, you know, because of this, God will judge your children. And God will cause all this treasure to be taken away from you. And Hezekiah adopted what I would call a very bizarre attitude. He said, well, thank God, it's not going to happen in my days. You know, that's hardly the attitude of a good father, is it? You know, a father wants to leave a legacy to his sons. And Hezekiah wasn't at all worried about what was going to happen when he died, but he was given the assurance that it would not happen when he lived. Well, Hezekiah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem then did humble themselves. But the results of their pride lived on. And we shall see in the next tape, as we look at the son that succeeded Hezekiah, what had been imparted to him, for he was born in the time of this apostasy, he was born in this time of pride. So as we come to a close of this tape, we want to consider very carefully, you know, the character, the abilities, the productivity of Hezekiah. His character, well, he was a good man. He was a good man. And he did bring the nation to salvation. And by his abilities, you know, he did give a wonderful testimony. And the nation became prosperous. And also he remained steadfast in his time of sickness, in his time of trial. And also he remained steadfast and enabled God to do that remarkable miracle, sending the angel of the Lord to destroy all the army of the Assyrians. Yes, Hezekiah was a remarkable man, very godly man, but you know, there was that flaw. And it must have broken the heart of God, you know, to see this wonderful servant of his, you know, abounding in goodness, very productive, abounding goodness, yet at the end of his life, his heart being lifted up by pride. You know, how we finish the race is so important. And I want to encourage you to meditate on that life of this godly king, his wonderful, wonderful testimonies, his wonderful courage, you know, in facing the army of the Assyrians, his wonderful courage, if I could say this, in holding firm, even in that time of sickness. But this flaw that cost Judah, really, if I could say this, their inheritance afterwards, because God had to deal severely with the son of Hezekiah, that we shall see in the next tape. But I want to encourage you, you know, hold on to the Lord, know the ways of salvation, walk in the ways of goodness, and above all, walk in humility. And when God blesses you, give the glory to God and take not one iota for yourself. And in so doing, you see, you will do something that Hezekiah was unable to do, finish the race well. So I want to encourage you, you know, think of all the good things in the life of Hezekiah and consider this flaw, that you will walk in the end of your days in deep humility before God, so that you receive that commendation from him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. God bless you.